chiesto perché. Cheers. All right. John chapter 5. Guillermo, this is what I was talking to you yesterday. It's a note for your brother. So he used to be in my Sunday school class, so if you could give that to him, send me the bill in the morning, okay? Thank you very much. Sounds like Columbo. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. John chapter 5. How many of you wonder why that bowl of water's up there? Come on. I'm going to go swimming. I thought for Goldfish Sunday, you might as well have a fish, swimming fish, right? Actually, when Brother Mitchell asked about my preaching this week, notice the possessive case pronoun before the gerund. I thought of two messages. By the way, Rob Halby, thanks for making the effort to come out today. I appreciate it. He's a friend of mine. I send him a Bible verse every day, and then he corrects me in my theology, so that's okay. Love you, Rob. But I thought of two messages, but I preached to the fifth graders. I'm just going to show you the object lesson, but something that I like object lessons because they stick in your brain, and they I'm using second person, but they stick in the brain, and it's pretty hard to forget them. But before we read the Bible verse, I'm going to say some of us, and I would include myself too, some of us feel like what good thing can come of this, right? You put yourself down, you dement yourself, and you don't give yourself a chance. And so, but I want you to know that if we were out by the lake, I'm going to pray in just a minute. But if we were out by the lake, we threw these come from a little. Our daughter had a little fish tank, and so you throw. Okay, it makes a little bit of a splash. You guys can't see. Can anybody see that? Yeah. Over here. Okay, watch this. This will change your life. Okay? Now, what you did not see are the ripples. You saw the little kerplunk, but you didn't see the ripples. And every one of our lives make ripples. And if you take a little bit bigger, and some of you have a little more influence than other people, and maybe a little stone, and you throw it in there, and it makes a little bit bigger. Okay? And it makes the ripples tend to go a little bit farther. Then maybe some of you are a little bit, maybe more influential. Some of you are bus captains or spirit leaders or maybe crew leaders at your job. And so, okay, see the splash. The impact is greater. When I came to college here 40 years ago, there were men, they were phenomenal soul winners, but they weren't very good dads, evidently, because their wives left them. Right. So you want to be a well-rounded, and I understand. I'm not trying to pick on anybody. I'm just saying every one of us makes an impact. Okay? And then there's some people And I would put Brother Hiles into this category. And I'm not sure if I put him directly here yet, but Brother Wilkerson's getting there. He's making a huge impact all over the world. Watch this. Watch this. It even came out. It's water. So, okay, one more time. For this side. Okay, you all see? So don't, and I'm going to tie a little bit of this in here, but every one of us has a sphere of influence, a ripple of influence. And never minimize that fact that you have an influence for good or for not good. All right, let's look at our Bible verse right here, John chapter 5. Why don't you go ahead and stand up just for a second there, not out of respect for the Word of God, because I don't read my Bible standing up all the time. I respect the Word of God, but I don't always stand up and read my Bible, okay? Verse number 1, after this there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there was at Jerusalem at the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a multitude of impotent folk, a blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in and was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity. How long is this? 38 years. He's going to that pool every day for 38 years. Every day for 38 years. Does God hear prayer? Does God answer prayer? He always does. Why didn't anybody help this guy? I'm sure you said, hey, could you help me? For 38 years, everybody's too busy to help him out. Jesus comes along. Jesus saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? Is that, I'd say Jesus asked a dumb question. But do you want to be able to walk, buddy? And he's been crippled for 38 years. Of course I want to be. Anyway, sometimes I read the Bible. My wife, when we were dating, she said, I have a picture in my mind of every Bible story. Well, that's my picture. Come on, really, Jesus? No, just kidding. I'm not trying to be unspiritual. Verse number 7. The impotent man answered him, sirs, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me in the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. And Jesus saith unto him, rise up, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And the same day was the Sabbath. Jesus got chastised and criticized because he healed somebody on the Sabbath day. I'm just saying. Who answered the prayer of this guy? I want to talk to you just for a few minutes on prayer answering men. Lord Jesus, you're a great God. We love you. Thank you for being a great God. Thank you for these students. And I'm humbled to my wife and I to invest our lives in what we consider some of the choicest young men and young ladies on the entire planet. Would you bless our time together? Would you give us a thought that'll maybe stick in our brains for the rest of our lives? In Jesus' name, amen. Have a seat. There are many incidents in the Bible when in answer to prayer, God must and did divinely intervene. The Red Sea, Moses raised his rod, and what happened? The Red Sea parted, and Israel went over on dry land. And when Pharaoh's army followed, they were swallowed up with the waves because the God... Let the sea go. Joshua chapter 6, Joshua and Israel, they had a parade around the city of Jericho. One day, every day for 6 days, and the seventh day they would march seven times around. And then they yelled, yeah, or whatever, amen, glory to God, hallelujah, whatever it was. And the walls came tumbling down, Oh, by the way, I'm glad Brother Eggers is up here. I thought of having a kazoo section of the orchestra. By the way, if you give these out on your bus, wait till they get off the bus. Don't give it to them. Don't give it to them on the bus. You'll pull your hair out of your head, I'm sure. Anyway, but I thought that would be very very motivating for the Spirit Servants Conference. How many of you can play a kazoo? See? You got to. Okay. Joshua chapter 10. The Israelites were fighting the Amorites. And Joshua said, we don't have enough time in the day. Heavenly Father, could you make the sun stand still? You got to be kidding. What a dumb request. And God says, you know what? I like those big requests. I'm going to do that. And the sun stood still for a day while the Israelites destroyed the Amorite army. Elijah and the 450 prophets of Baal. He let them go first and said, hey, call down fire from heaven. Let's see how powerful your God is. And they're cutting themselves. And then Elijah said, well, let me show you what the real God can do. Put the sacrifice on the altar, and then they dumped 12 buckets in a drought. In a drought, they drove 12 buckets of water on the sacrifice. And then Elijah said, stand back, guys. Watch this. Watch what happens here. I don't think, Heavenly Father. I think it was just spectacular. I think he said, Lord, your turn. Consume the sacrifice, the rocks, the water, everything. Luke chapter 1, Zechariah and Elizabeth tried to have a baby. They had no child because Elizabeth was barren. They both were well now stricken in years. But the angel of the Lord said unto them, fear not, Zacharias, thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear a son, and call his name John. An old lady who seemingly couldn't have a child, but she had one. I remember Brother Howes used to say, you know, as he was getting older, he said, you know, there may be a lot of snow on the roof, he said, but there's still fire in the furnace. And so, anyway, you'll get that short. Fish have to drink water to keep their gills wet. To answer most prayers, God uses a separated man. Now listen to this. In light of what I just showed you a minute ago, the Bible says, 1 Corinthians verse number 1, chapter 1, verse 26, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after flesh, not many mighty are chosen. But God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, the things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. I remember as a bus captain, boy, I thought I had the best bus promotion, and I said, man, we're gonna kill the big one this time. And I rented an extra bus, and we had 29. I'm a staff member at Howes Anderson College. You know how humbling that was? But sometimes guys, now fish, if you think your promotion is going to do it, if you think the goldfish, now I did, people have come for goldfish. By the way, my wife and I went to Long John Silver's on our date this week, and several customers were saying, those are cannibals over there eating fish. Oh, here we go. Fish, eating fish. You'll get that. In answer to prayer, God used a ruddy David to defeat Goliath. Here's a guy that's 9'6" tall, and here's little David. I'm guessing he was 5'10", 5'9". Ruddy, the Bible says. God used an insecure Nehemiah to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Question from the test yesterday. How many days did it take him? 52, see? If you retake the test, now you know the answer. God uses stammering Moses to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. Don't go by the Ten Commandments on television or movies. The Bible says Moses, he said, Lord, I can't talk, I'm not eloquent. And maybe he had a speech impediment. But the fact of the matter is, God used God. If anybody yields, and I didn't bring any, but you go to God as a piece of clay, and He'll mold you and make you what He needs you to be. By the way, who's praying for you? Who's praying? What mom is on her knees? I mean, literally, I thought of this, Brother Jack. What mom is on her knees right now, saying, "Lord, help my daughter listen to chapel. I know they're having chapel right now. But dad is saying, dear Jesus, please bless my son and help him to pay attention. Don't let him talk. Don't let him be distracted. Help him to pay attention. Work in his heart. Work in his life. How many prayers are you answering? God used a man in soul winning. Philip was preaching a great revival, and God says, I want you to go preach to this one guy, this Ethiopian eunuch over here. And Philip said, yes, sir, Lord, whatever you need. And Philip said to the eunuch, do you understand what you're reading in the Bible? He said, how can I? Some man show me. He said, I can do that. I can help you there. I'm just saying, many of you, whether it's salvation or discipleship, you have the wherewithal to be a help to people spiritually. Peter and Cornelius, Acts chapter 10. I just read this in my Bible today. Cornelius was, Bible says he was a devout man. He gave alms and tithes, but he was lost. And Peter went over to him. And by the way, I love this. I was talking to a priest one time, and I said, now, in Acts chapter 10, when Cornelius tried to bow down to Peter, and Peter said, no, don't do that. I'm just a man. I said, why do priests have people bow down to them? And he said, smoking a cigarette. That's a good question. How about a good answer, buddy? I wasn't disrespectful. In 1993, Carl Hatch, his name has been mentioned. How many of you know the name Carl Hatch? He was an evangelist. Before he was saved, he was drinking a fifth of whiskey a day. He and his wife were having terrible marital problems, and you could guess. But Carl Hatch got saved, and he became a, matter of fact, I'm not trying to be vulgar here, but he'd go into a bathroom, he'd see a stall being used, and he'd put a tract under there and say, hey, when you got time, here's something to read. But he was preaching in my dad's home church. At that time, Don Kuiper is now missionary up in Niagara Falls, Ontario, Canada. And I said, Brother Hatch, could you go by and talk to my grandpa? I said, he's a devout Catholic. And I said, I think he wouldn't give you the time of day. I said, but would you at least try? He said, I'd love to, brother, I'd love to. Knocked on my grandfather's door. My grandfather let him in the house, which when he told me that the next day in church, I said, you got to be kidding me. My grandpa let you in his house? He said, yeah, I went through the plan of salvation. He said, with tears, your grandpa had. He trusted Jesus. He'd been a Catholic 83 years. There was a man on my bus route. He got saved. He was in the Latin Kings. Then he passed away, and I told his mom, I said, he's in heaven. I said, I think when your son got to heaven, my grandpa was already there meeting him there, and he probably said, hey, your bus captain? That's my grandson. Brother Howes answers his own prayer. He was praying for the Chicagoland area. He was the answer to his own prayer. And thousands of people have gotten saved in this area. Luke chapter 16, the rich man and Lazarus. And the rich man said, could you send Lazarus that so he can go preach to my brothers? I have five brothers. I've always wondered, have you always wondered, did anybody ever go talk to those guys? Maybe they're supposed to be on a bus route and they ended up going shopping instead or something. I don't know. Playing video games. God wants to use believers as soul winners in answer to prayer. Tomorrow's a visiting day. What family member? We've heard many, many stories where a grandmother had been praying for a family and then here comes a Housing Anderson College student, knocks on the door. Hi, I'm from First Baptist Church. I was tired one Saturday. I didn't want to be out soul winning. I really wanted to be hugging my pillow. I knocked and I was by myself, and I was with in Fisherman's Club, and there was a green house and a yellow house, and I said, "Eeny meeny miny mo, this looks like the way to go. Yellow house, you win." I wasn't spiritual. I really hope nobody answered the door. And I knocked on the door, and I said, hi, my name is Mike Fish. I'm from First Baptist Church. And the guy says, why'd you knock on my door? That's why I need a confrontation. I don't even want to be out here. Ever been there? How many of you? You don't feel like going soul winning? You don't feel like being on your bus route? Raise your, liar, pants and skirts on fire. There are times. I said, well, we're out visiting folks and just trying to see if you have a home church you go to. He said, but why'd you knock on my door? He said, I never. He said, I'm divorced from my wife. I'm always with my kids on Saturday. He said, somebody stole my motorcycle. He said, I'm never home on Saturday. He said, why'd you knock on my door? He invited me in the house. I went through took my New Testament. And he got saved. Just almost like, what must I do to be saved? But I've always wondered who. Maybe his mom was praying for him. I met a guy named Brian Terry at the Lake County Jail. He was a bad dude. He was selling drugs. As a matter of fact, he left the area to go to Colorado to avoid the police. He was in a shootout with some police officers, lost a kidney, and but when I met him, he was a gentle giant. As a matter of fact, he wrote his testimony out, and I typed it out for him. I think Brian may have gone to heaven since, but Brian, he was a pimp also. And one of his women came up to him one day and was excited to see him. Hey, Brian, good to see you. And he wept and he said, yeah, I don't want you to know me as your pimp. He said, I'm saved now. I'm going to heaven. He said, I want to start a church in Gary. Hallelujah. But I always wondered, was his grandma praying for him? That's how God works, folks. He works in answer to prayer. God uses men to meet the need. Down this hallway, I was finance withdrawn for the spring 83 semester. And a married man with several kids came up to me. I mentioned this in class the other day to some of you. But he said, hey, Mike, how things going? Oh, praise the Lord, God's good. Make no provision for failure. He said, where's that in the Bible? He said, are you registered for classes? I said, no, I'm not. He said, I'll have a check in the box for you for tomorrow. He said, how about your brother? Is he in school? And I said, no, he's not registered either. I told my roommates, I told the guys on my floor, Brother Mitchell wasn't here back then, but I told the guys on my floor, they're going to have to pick me up and carry me out. I am not leaving because I know God brought me to here to Housing Anderson College. Some of you, the littlest challenge that comes your way, your mom's praying for you, Lord, help my daughter to make it through. And then you throw up your hand, well, this is too hard to do. Really? There's nothing that comes into your life that God didn't design and approve. Go by the desk of God. Those of you that are going on summer tour, I remember we were on 1993, we were on summer tour, and we went in a church, had 70 people. We didn't know that. The week before, they had over 300. They had a church split. Man, the girls sang. We prayed, Lord, please use us. Man, the altar was full, and the people, they dedicated themselves and said, we're going to keep going for Jesus. And you go on summer tour, and it's not a cakewalk. It's not a vacation. It's a lot of hard work, but you're going to come back at the end of the summer, and hopefully you're going to have all kinds of stories that God used you because somebody's praying for you. We will on staff and faculty. We'll be praying for you. Have fun meetings. Have fun meeting the needs of others. I almost brought a piece of a conduit, but I didn't have any at home, but. Conduits don't carry, they don't carry electricity. They allow electricity to be carried. And what you do is what I do, I go to God. Before I came to chapel today, I got in my office, I knelt down, and I said, Dear Jesus, help me to say what I should and keep me from saying what I shouldn't say. For 32 years as a teacher, I never go to class without asking God to help me. I don't want you to have to waste your money. You work hard. God uses men in answer to prayer of loved ones. This is an old name, Maurice Paulson. He was in charge of our missions department. Dr. Paulson prayed for missions. He had been a missionary to Lebanon, I think, Brother Jeremy, isn't it? Lebanon. But Kevin Wynn, I just wrote a couple named Barry Hoffman, Rick Martin, Lane Jones, Kevin Wynn. How many men are on the field serving in a ministry right now around the world because Dr. Maurice Paulson prayed for them? He didn't know what he was praying for. He'd pray around a map of the country of the world. Who's praying for you? Who's praying for you right now?
Well, you know, Brother Fisher, I'm gonna go into business and I'm gonna make money.
Okay, if you know that's what God wants you to do, great. But some of you, I think you ought to go to God and say, okay, here's my surrender, my white flag. I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do, because maybe there's a mom, a grandma that's praying for you, that you'll serve God with your life. My dad got saved. He had been an alcoholic from age 19 to 47. When he got saved, I didn't want to, but he had lied to me when I was 16 years old. He said, "You get your license, I'll buy you a car." He never did. And when he said, "Yeah, you can know for sure you're going to heaven," I said, "Yeah, sure, Dad, come on." My dad prayed for me every day for 3 years. I can remember sometimes watching a football game, and I'd hear weeping, and I'd peek in the bedroom. My dad was on his knees at the foot of the bed. "Dear God, please save my wife. Please save my boys. Please save my daughter." Who's praying for you right now? Who's praying for you right this minute? Who's on their knees begging God to work in your life? Brother Howells, Brother Wilkerson, praying for churches around America, the world. And Brother Wilkerson, boy, he knows no hours. I've said to Preston before, I said, "How does your dad do it?" He said, "I guess he just trusts God." But I tell you what, this guy right here, I'm praying for him every day. And I write every other week, I remind him that he's on my prayer list. I pray for him every single day. You pray for your pastor back home? He's praying for you. Do you pray for him? "I cannot quit because I am my father's ministry." After I got saved, my dad kept praying for me every day. Till the day he died. He died when he was 77. Matter of fact, my wife's dad and my dad died 8 days apart in April of 1980-something. No, 2008. My prayer warrior was gone. And my wife prays for me. I know that. But I'm just saying, who's praying for you right now? Who do you pray for? God uses men and women in answer to prayer for full-time Christian service. God, we have all heard this. God has a prepared place for the prepared man and woman. What church will fold because a young man refused? What church is going to fold because somebody in this room refused to be a pastor, to be a missionary? What parents' hearts will break because their child? Some of your moms and dads, "Please keep my son and my daughter, keep them clean and keep them pure till they go to the marriage altar. Lord, please." Are you going to answer that prayer? Who will miss hearing because of inattentiveness in church? Somebody's sitting around you in church and you're talking and somebody's praying for that person sitting next to you, that first-time visitor. And they can't focus on what's going on because somebody's not paying attention. Somebody's talking, playing their phone. I'm going to read a verse for you, 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 14. And Elisha, he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? We're kind of like, we're in America, aren't we saying that kind of? Lord, where are you? What's happening to our government? My wife and I were watching the news last night, and the woman of the year this year is a man. A man dressed as a woman. Asking at a Congress, asking people, what is a woman? No, they asked this lady, they said, can men have babies? And with a straight face, she said, yes. Yes! Wacky. Who would have thought? James 5:17, the Bible says, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not in the earth for a space of 3 years and 6 months. Here's my question. Where are the Elijahs of the Lord God? Where are the Elijahs that will pray And that will be the answer to the prayers of other people. Where are the prayer answering men and women who will answer the call to meet the needs and wants of others? Young people, someone's praying for you. Someone's praying for you right now. I believe there's somebody's praying for me right now. It might be that woman in the balcony. Maybe she's the only one, but I know she is. Will you be the answer to the prayers of your grandma, your grandpa, your mom, your dad? Or is life all about you? We call that narcissism when life's all about you. Who will be the prayer answering man or woman? There's a song three weeks ago when Brother Mitchell asked me to preach in chapel, a song popped in my head. Someone is praying for you. I'm going to have you, in just a second, I'm going to have you bow your heads and close your eyes, and we're going to give about I don't know how long the song is. Dan, is it 4 minutes? 5 minutes? We're going to have a 5-minute invitation. I want you to stop and think, who's praying for you right now? And let me ask you this too. Are you answering the prayer of your grandma, your grandpa, your mom, your dad? And I don't want you to just come up here just because it's something I always do. I want you to think, are you answering the prayers of other people? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Why don't you go ahead and stand. Lord, I pray that you help us, help me to be the answer to somebody's prayer. Amen. Go ahead, Dan.